Okay, good morning. We are about to start Perek Yud Tes, chapter 19. Before we do that, I just want to mention one thing on the last pasuk that we didn't have time for last week. So in pasuk Lamed of Perek Yud Tes, it says, Vayetsu Sarei Plishtim, and the officers of Plishtim went out, Vayhi Midei Tzesam, and it was when they would go out, Sochal David Mikol Avdei Shaul. David was the most, again we have this word, whether it meant successful according to some of our Shim, or the most wise, strategic of all of the servants of Shaul. Vayikar Shimo Me'od, and his name became very yakar, very valued. I think we need another chair. Oh, here we go. Look at that service. Shkoyach. Okay. So it says Vayikar Shimo Me'od, and his name became very, very valued, very famous, very, very honored. Now there's an interesting medrash that the Radak brings down. The Radak says, first of all, on a pshat level, it means Haya Yakar Be'enei Kol Hashomim Shamo. It was his name was valued to all those who were special, to all those who would hear his name. But then he quotes a medrash. The medrash says, "Vayikar shmo behalacha." He was very great in halacha and psak. What happened? So apparently the Plishtim were also great in halacha, or not so great. But says the medrash, "Kevan sheshamu Plishtim." When the Plishtim heard that David had gotten married, right? He just married Michal. So they said, "Oh, great! Here's our opportunity." You know why? Because we read the Jewish Bible, and in the Jewish Bible it says that when someone gets married, they don't go to war for a year, right? That they stay home for a year, right? It says, "Kikach ish isha chadasha lo yitzei batzava." If a man marries a new wife, he doesn't go out to war. Shana rishona, he stays home. They say, "Oh, now's our chance. King David, this warrior, is going to be staying home. We better take advantage." What happened? They didn't know, says the Medrash. Ki David chacham haya. David was a chacham. And he knew how to darshan. He knew how to darshan a pasuk. He knew how to learn, right? They didn't know how to learn. They could read, but they didn't know how to learn. David darshan bamed dvarim amurim. What's the Torah speaking about when it says that you don't go out to war? That's b'melchemes reshus. That's for an optional war. Ava b'melchemes mitzvah. Hakol yotzin. Afilu chasan mechadaro v'kala mechupasa. Says everyone goes out, even the chasan from his room, and the kala from her chuppah. She's probably not involved in the combat part of battle, but in the serving, etc. Even the kala goes. Everyone goes for a milchemes mitzvah, and therefore David, even though he was in Shana Rishona, he would still go out to war. And the Plishtim were mistaking in that regard. That's why it says in this context, according to the Medrash, Vayikar Shmo Me'od, right, it says Vayetsu Sarei Plishtim. The Sarei Plishtim went out to try to fight, and it was when they went out, Sochal David. David was, again, we could go with wise, we could tie that into the Medrash. He was wise, he was strategic. Vayikar Shmo Me'od, and his name was very respected in Halacha, because he said, "No, you know, the Plishtim don't know how to darshan. They don't know how to learn. They don't know how to darshan this pasuk that it's okay for me to fight because it's a milchemes mitzvah." Okay. Perek Yud Tes. Vayidaber Shaul el Yonasan v'no v'el kol avadav. And Shaul spoke to Yonasan, his son, and to all of his servants, l'hamis es David, to kill David. So we've seen previously that Shaul has made an attempt to kill David. We had it in the last parak. We're going to refer back to it soon again. But we had this episode where David was playing the harp, or he was playing an instrument. He was playing music for Shaul, and Shaul tried to kill him without making it look like he was trying to kill him. And David avoided the spear and survived. So here it says that Shaul spoke to Yonasan and to his servants, Lahamis is David to kill David. So he doesn't want to do it himself, apparently, but he's instructing them to kill David. The David understands that he wanted to make it look like he had nothing to do with it. He wanted someone to kill him, but no connection back to the king. That's how he wanted it. What?
Accident.
An accident. Well, that too, but probably, but that is what he says. He says, be'arma, which is, I guess, with like trickery, uvishkaga, and accidentally, hayotzeis mevlidas shebedvar ha'melech nasa. It should happen without knowledge that it came at the hand of the king. Right? Take some lessons from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, right. No text messages.
So what happened? Yonasan ben Shaul chafetz b'David ma'od. It was a bit of a mistake on Shaul's part because Yonasan was very desirous of David. He loved David. He desired that David live. So we could assume that Shaul even knew that Yonasan was very close to David. He still told Yonasan he thought he would be more loyal to him than to David, apparently. But no, Yonasan says he liked David. He was close with David. And so in Pasuk Beis, Vayagid Yonasan with David Lamar. And Yonasan said to David, saying, Mevake Shaul avi lahamisecha, Shaul, my father, seeks to kill you. Ve'ata hi shamer na v'aboker v'yashavta v'aseser v'nachbesa. Now, guard yourself in the morning and sit in a hidden place, v'nachbesa, and hide yourself away. So let's just break this down. So first of all, Shaul has requested. He's put out, you know, a bounty on your head. He's made a request. Again, this could imply that it's something that he's trying to keep on the down low, that people shouldn't know. But he seeks to your death. And now he shamer nov aboker. So remember, be careful for what I'm saying for tomorrow morning. I'm not sure why this is delayed, when this is going to happen until the morning. But he says, you know, guard yourself in the morning. And in the morning, you should, yashavta baseser, go sit in a hidden place, v'nachbesa, and hide yourself away. What's the difference between those two things? It's the Malbim, who's very particular in breaking down every single word of the Navi. See, there's an interesting running machlokas. I'm not sure if we pointed this out before, between the Malbim and some other commentaries, whether the Navi ever is, you know, poetic, or he repeats the same idea twice in just different terms. I don't know if this would be an example of that, but the Malbim is careful to point out here that Yashavta Baseser, you should sit in a hidden place. He says, refers to a place that nobody knows where you're going, v'nachbesa, and you should be hidden away so that passersby don't see you. That's how he understands these two, the difference between sitting in a hidden place, a place that people don't know where you're going, and also hide yourself away so that passersby don't see you. V'ani etze v'almati liadavi, says Yonasan, I will go out, and I will stand next to my father, Basada Ashirata Sham, in the field which you are there. Vani Adaber Becha El Avi, and I will speak of you to my father, Veraisi Ma, and I will see what he responds, Vigati Lach, and I will tell you. So Yonasan was actually telling Shaul was telling David to hide in a very specific place. And the Farshim explain that there was a certain field that Shaul liked to walk in. And Yonasan was saying, hide somewhere in that field, out of sight, and then I'll be able to get the message to you right away, because I will speak to my father, I'll get his reaction, I'll maybe perhaps try to convince him to let you live, and then you'll be able to hear what's going on, and you'll know, I'll tell you, you know, I'll speak in a way that you'll understand whether your life is safe or it's not safe. Now, the Malbim tells us that whenever it says, Adaber Bicha, about you, so it's always a negative connotation. He gives examples of this. He says, we have, Vatadaber Miriam Bimoshe. And Miriam spoke of Moshe. What was she saying? Lashon Hara about Moshe, right? Where she speaks Lashon Hara, she says he's separated from his wife, he thinks he's a great Navi, da, 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 all that, right? So there it says, Bi Moshe, about Moshe, it's negative. Also, we have a pasuk, Yidibarnu b'Hashem v'avach. When the people say, when Bnei Yisrael says, you know, we've sinned, we've spoken against Hashem and against you, Moshe. So they say, so again, it's with the base, b'Hashem v'avach. So, says the Malbim, I've already explained this to you in depth elsewhere, but here we see this repeating again. Yonah's song is saying, Ani adaber b'cha, I will speak about you, but Malbim understands it means negatively. I am going to try to provoke Shaul, and that's how we'll really see what he holds. We'll see his strategy as in speaking to Shaul as we go. Okay. Vayedaber Yehonasan b'David tov el Shaul aviv. Okay, so this pasuk seems to contradict what we just said, what the Malbim just said. The Malbim said that when it says Adaber b'cha, it means I'll speak negatively. Then the pasuk Dalet says, "Vayidaber Yehonasan b'David tov el Shaul aviv," and Yehonasan spoke to David well and Yehonasan spoke to Shaul. He spoke well of David to his father. So what does the Malbim say to this? So the Malbim breaks up the pasuk differently. It doesn't work so well with the trap, so I'm not sure why he thinks that's acceptable, but that's what he does. He says, Vaydaber Yonasan b'David, and Yonasan spoke about David again with the bays. He spoke badly of David in such a way that it would be tov el Shaul aviv, that it would be good in the eyes of his father, Shaul. He said what Shaul wanted to hear. He said, oh, this guy, we'll see what he said, but, you know, he's not so great, etc., etc. We'll see exactly what he said, but he, that's how he breaks it up. He spoke bid David, he spoke ill of David, which was tov el Shaul aviv, which was good to in Shaul's ears.
Yeah, they translate favorably.
Right, that's what I'm saying. The Pashuk reading, the simple reading, and other Mefarshim read it that way, is he spoke favorably. He spoke well of David. The Malbim, like Lishi Tassa, right, according to his opinion, that whenever it says with a base, bih, you know, about someone, it's negative, so he wants to break it up in this fashion, so that it's Dabri Yonasan bit David, he spoke ill of David, and it was tov el Shaul aviv, it was good in the eyes of Shaul, the way that he was speaking about him.
But spoke ill, he told David, this is what I'm going to say. But when he got to Shaul, he decided to say something different. He changed his mind.
It could be. But you still have the bit. You still have the bit here. So.
Well, the bit is all what he said to David, he would say.
No, but you have it in this pasuk also. Right. You have it again.
Talk literally good about him, won't like it, and will listen if he discarded him as a threat.
Right.
So it's a bad thing, but it's actually good for the day.
Right. That's how he's understanding.
Maybe
that's what he's trying to do.
So you could say it with Ekeb on, saying, well, even if Yonasan didn't say it,
right,
now agrees with me.
Right. So we'll have to see what he said. So let's keep going. Vayomer Elov. And he said to him, Al Yecheta Hamelech Be'avdo B'David. The king shouldn't sin with regards to his servant to David. Don't have him killed, basically. Don't sin. Ki lo chatolach, he didn't sin against you. V'chi masav tov lecha me'od. And on the contrary, what he's done for you is very good. Vayasem esnafsho bechapo. He placed his life in his hand precariously. The Mitzudas David, the Mitzudas David learns. It's, I think we had this once before, that this expression. He placed it in the palm of his hand. It's precarious. If your hand is open, something, if you put something on your hand, it can fall easily. That's an expression of he puts himself in dangerous situations. Vayach, or in this case, he refers to a specific one, the fight against Goliath. He put his life in his palm. Vayach es haplishti, and he struck that Philistine, Goliath. Vayas Hashem teshua gedola l'chol Yisrael, and Hashem did a great salvation, made a great salvation for the Jewish people. Ra'isa batisma, you've seen this and you've rejoiced over it. V'lama sechata b'damnaki, why will you sin on clean blood? L'hamis es David chinam, to kill David for naught. So he's telling him, this is a man who's willing to put his life on the line for you. It's in your interest, father, to leave him alive. Now, perhaps the negative connotation, the Malbim says, is he's saying like, oh, David, he's a guy who he doesn't care about his life, you know, he risks his life, he doesn't care, he's like he's one of these daredevils, right? He's speaking negatively of him, but he's pointing out, the point is that this is good for you, Shaul. He may be this daredevil who we don't respect for that, and it's a negative, you know, comment, but he's trying to bring out the point that be that as it may, it's in your interest. He's done great things for you, so why would you want to put an end to him? Keep him around. He can keep benefiting you. So that's the negative. That's the negative comment. But it's he's trying to show Shaul that it's in his interest to keep him alive. Vayishma Shaul b'kol Yehonasan, and Shaul listened to the voice of Yehonasan. Vayishava Shaul, and Shaul swore, Chai Hashem im, mine is rubbed out, Yumas it says, Chai Hashem im Yumas, it's Yod Vav Mem Taf. Sorry, just mine's rubbed out. What's the last word of Vav? Yeah, Yumas. Okay. So he swears by Hashem's name, in Yumas, that he shouldn't die, that we should keep, that David should be allowed to live. We'll see, this oath isn't going to last very long. Vayikra Yehonasan LaDavid. So remember, David's hiding in the field. So Yehonasan calls out to David, Vayagid Yehonasan Ishko Advarim Ha'ile. And he told him all of these things. He told him what happened. He told him that Shaul has decided that you should be allowed to live. Vayave Yehonasan es David el Shaul. And Yehonasan brought David to Shaul. Vahi lefanav ke'esmol shilshom. And he was before him like the day before and the day before. That things were back to being fine and dandy again between them. Things returned to the way they had been. Okay, so everything is going great now. Everything's back to the way it was. Baruch Hashem. Batosef ha-melchama lios. And the battle continued. What battle? What battle is going on? With the Plishtim, but things seemingly had settled. So the Malbim says things were a little bit settled until... Right, the battle at the end of the last parak, which was started by David when he went out to get Mea Arlos Plishtim, when he went out to get 100 Plishti foreskins. So he started up again with the Plishtim, and that's the battle that's continuing now. And the battle continued. Vayetze David, and David went out. Vayilachem baplishtim. What?
They decided to go back after he got married.
No. The plishtim thought that they should fight now. Oh, you're saying that that's why they went back out. All right, I said that. That's true. So fine. Right. According to the Radak, it will just be, the plishtim started up again because they realized that David would no longer be fighting, or they thought that David wouldn't be fighting anymore, and they were wrong. The Malbim learns it's a continuation of the battle that David started when he went out to get 100 plishti foreskins so he could marry Micha.
Question, I guess, if you don't mind a question from last week. 100 foreskins, is that measured in terms of a market price for them or the value that it has to the specific donee? In other words,
you mean for being Mekadesh, for using it for Kedushin?
Correct.
The Gemara said its only value was, well, they weren't like transplanting them. The Gemara said the only value was to feed to animals.
Okay.
And that was debated whether it had any value at all.
But. So in other words, it has, at least it's measured by marketplace, not to the emotional value it has to the person who's receiving it.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Vayach bahem makah gedola, and he struck against the plishtim a great makah, a great striking. Vayonusu mipanav, and they fled from before him. Vatehi ruach Hashem ra el shal, and again a ruach ra, a spirit of a bad spirit settled over Shal. Vehu beveso yoshev, and he was sitting in his house. Vachaniso biyado, and his spear was in his hand. Vidavig minaging biyad, and David was playing with it, was playing music with his hand. Now we're going to have to make a comparative study. Let's read one more pasuk. Vayivake Shaul lahakos vachanis bedavig uvakir, and Shaul desired to strike with his spear David and the wall, put a spear right through David into the wall. Vayiftar mipnei Shaul, and he escaped from Shaul. Vayaches achanis bakir, and the spear struck the wall. Vidavid nas, and David ran away. Vayimaleit balaylohu, and he escaped that night. So this is very, very similar to what we had in the last parak. We'll have to do a comparative study to see if it is, to see what the differences are. So last time we had it, it was in. So it's in Perek Yud Ches and Pasuk Yud. So there it says, chapter 18, verse 10. It says, "Vahimi Macharas," and it was the next day. "Vatitzach Ruach Elokim Ra El Shaul," and the Ruach Elokim came to Shaul. "Vaisnabi B'sol Chabayis," he was having illusions in the house. "V'David Menaging Biyado," and David was playing with his hand. So let's point that out. First of all, it says biyado, with his hand, and here it just says biyad. So is that a difference? There it says David was playing with his hand, and here it says he was menaging biyad, with his hand. I mean, with hand. Okay, a very subtle difference. There it says kiyom biyom, like every day. It says biyado kiyom biyom, with his hand, like each day. And here it just says biyad, with hand. And then it says v'achanis biyad shaul, and the spear was in Shaul's hand. And here it says that before. Here it says, first it tells us that Shaul was in the house, and his spear was in his hand, and David was playing. There it said David was playing, and the spear was in Shaul's hand. So again, another subtle difference. It flips the order. Yeah.
With respect to the yod,
yeah.
The ancient practice was to not reproduce the following letter if it belongs to both words. And the next letter is above. And they didn't have vowels in those days.
Interesting.
So it could have been read biado.
But don't we see, is it specifically at the end of a verse? Because just three words before that, we do have it. But we have that right three words before it has biado vidavid.
Scribal variation, I don't know.
Right. Okay, but we still have, okay, it's possible. We still have a difference that there it said kiyom biyom, and then it wouldn't have been necessary to make this adjustment. Okay, possible. What else? Okay, and
they don't have spaces between words.
What's that?
They don't have spaces between words.
Uh-huh. Okay, so we have to reconcile that with what else is in that pasuk.
Bring the morning because
I mean, we have it twice in this pasuk. We have it from the previous pasuk ches into pasuk tes, two vavs in a row, and then we have it in that those words right before. So I'm not sure if it's consistent with this book. Okay, what else do we have? Right, over there we have that Shaul, over there it says, Vayatel Shaul Esachanis. There it says, Shaul picked up the spear, he wasn't holding it yet, and over here it says, Chaniso biyado. The spear was in his hand already at the very beginning. So these are a few things to point out. Now we'll talk about what the Mefarshim say in comparing these two. So we'll start with the Malbim. The Malbim says that there were two differences between what happened here and what happened earlier. There, David was playing already, right? Again, you look back at those psukim. First it said David was playing, and then it says that the chanis, the spear, was in Shaul's hand. That's because first David was playing, and then Shaul picked up the spear. And that's why, over there, David was not aware, even, that Shaul was holding the spear. He was involved in playing. But now he was well aware, because he's only started playing after Shaul picked up the spear, and therefore David himself had to, was involved in saving himself. Last time we said that it was miraculous, that David didn't even know, and Hashem helped him avoid the spear. Here he was aware, and he is the one who initiates his escape. And secondly, over there it says the Malbim, there it says that Shaul took the spear and he said, I will strike David into the wall. And because there he wanted to make it look like an accident. That he was going to take the spear and just like, oh, whoops, and accidentally spear him.
Is this his habit to go flinging spears about? I mean, it doesn't seem like a normal thing to do.
No, he was worried, too, not just him. He was actually fighting.
Yeah, okay, I hear. But here, he was, is it normal for him to, why is that such a cover up? Like, oh, you're playing with your spear in your house, right?
It's not a normal thing for a king to do, throwing spears
around. Uh-huh. He had just like weird things in his mind.
Right. Yeah, makes sense. That makes sense.
He's trying to make it look like an accident.
Right, but the Malbim's saying he wants to make it look like an accident, so he was just like waving his spear and oh, whoops, it went through
this
a dozen.
This is not a normal thing to do for a king to go like.
Waving to the music.
Right. Yeah. So. But.
Time. Well, it was very dangerous time. So.
But here he says he was very much more deliberate. It says, "Vayivakesh Shaul lahakos pachanas b'David uvakir." He wanted to do this very deliberately, and David managed to escape. So that's one. That's the difference according to the Malbim. The Kuyakar points out that what it's, first of all, he says, let's just mention this Duke, this inference, it says, it's a, look at Pasuk Tes again. It just points out, it's an interesting Pasuk. It says, Vati Ruach Hashem Ra'al Shaul, and this Ruach Ra'al came over Shaul, V'hu Beveisel Yoshev, and he was singing in his house. So it could have just said, or normally it would say, V'hu Yoshev Beveisel, he was sitting in his house. What is it trying to bring out to, by stressing he was Beveisel Yoshev, he was in his house? So kind of speaking to your point, it's saying that it wasn't normal to have his spear with him in his house like this. He was, it was this Ruach Ra, this spirit that came over him, and that's what possessed him to be handling weapons in his house, you know, I guess thinking about David, whatever it was, and it's because of, and it's pointing out that even though he was singing in his house, he was still, right, whatever it was, right, but it was because of the Ruach Ra, it was because of that spirit that came over him that he was doing this, and he says, as a result, that's why the David minagin biyad. David was playing with hand, as opposed to what it said before, biyado kiyom biyom, with his hand like he would every day. David was very nervous. David was not really paying attention to what he was doing. He was paying attention to Shaul. Because he saw Shaul holding the spear, he knew Shaul had, you know, wanted him dead, and so when he sees Shaul holding a spear, his hand is, the hand is playing, but he's not playing. He's paying attention to Shaul. As opposed to last time, he was just playing. It was biyado ki yom biyom. It was with his hand, like every day, his normal style of playing. What's that?
You learned his lesson,
yeah. So, he says he couldn't even feel his hand. It wasn't his hand anymore. He was
playing automatically.
Right, he was playing automatically, and so nervous that he couldn't feel his hand.
But the difference when it says the first chapter, Ruach Elohim,
yeah.
And the second one doesn't say Elohim, does that mean
it's Ruach Hashem?
The Ruach Elohim stayed with
them? I don't know what the difference between these two is. I noticed that also, yeah, that last time it said Ruach Elohim, and here it says Ruach Hashem. You invite them for...
Mm-hmm.
Right, but
well, maybe it's taking something bad. I don't know.
Okay.
When person kind of like paranoid, they do bad things.
Right. Yeah, that's what's going on. Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayishlach Shaul. Oh, so David escapes, right? David escapes. Where does he go? Apparently, he goes to his house. Not the greatest hiding spot from Shaul. Shaul knows where he is. Vayishlach Shaul malachim al beis David, and Shaul sent messengers to the house of David, with Shamro, to guard him, you know, put him under house arrest, v'lahamiso baboker, and to kill him in the morning. V'atageid leDavid, Michal ishto lemor, and it was told, and Michal, David's wife, again, it's a little bit of a strange order of this pasuk. Michal ishto tageid leDavid. Michal, his wife, told David, Lamar, saying, "Im eincha memalei des nafshecha alayla, if you, David, don't escape with your life tonight, machar atam umas, tomorrow you will be killed." Michal was aware of what was going on. She says, "You need, if you want to survive, you need to escape now." Why wait till morning? Why are they waiting till morning? Good. Excellent. That's how the Radak learns, I think. Yeah. The Radak says that the reason why they were going to bring him back to the palace to kill him. They weren't going to kill him in the, you know, in front of his wife. They were going to bring him back in the morning to the palace.
Do not trespass. Angry dogs and landmines.
The
won't put a sign even to say, you know,
the Mitsudas David understands that that he didn't want to make it look intentional. He wanted to. The Mitsudas David learns, I guess, not like the Malbim, that that Shaul with the spear and everything. Even this time around, he wanted it to look accidental. So he wanted them to bring David back, to put David to death accidentally, right? So he didn't want them to kill him in the house. Bring him back to the palace, and he'll, you know, a ladder will fall on him, or you know, some, right? We'll find an accidental death for him, but that was his plan the entire time, was for it to be an accidental death. The Malbim has a more elaborate understanding of what's going on here. The Malbim learns that when David ran away from Shaul, so Shaul said, "Oh, now I got him." You know why? Because you can't run away from the king. It's Marid B'Malchus. Marid B'Malchus, it's rebelling against the king. Rebelling against the king is Chayav Misa. Right, we're going to see later. David, when he's king, is going to put utilize that. Marid b'malchus, someone who rebels against the king has the right to have them killed. The Kuyakar says that it wasn't Marid b'malchus because it's pikuach nefesh. Yeah, you know, David's life is in danger. He's allowed to run away. But Mishpatzov points out, well, I don't know about that, he says, because the king is allowed to put someone in danger. The king is allowed to send someone into battle. So perhaps that's not a Marid B'Malchus to run away. Sorry, perhaps that is a Marid B'Malchus. Perhaps even though the Torah says V'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamus b'hem, you live by the mitzvahs, you don't die by them, and so generally pikuach nefesh, a danger to one's life, overrides any mitzvah, even listening to the king. But maybe over here, it doesn't override, because we know that that's not true when it comes to the king. The king can command someone to, you know, to go into battle, even in a dangerous situation. So, and if you don't listen, it's Marid B'Malchus.
This was a case of battle.
I know, but in terms of the, he's just getting on that one point. The Kliyakar said it wasn't Marid B'Malchus because of Pikuach Nefesh. Mishpatzov says not necessarily. Pikuach Nefesh is not an excuse for Marid, does not excuse not listening to the king. We know that because the king is allowed to send you into a dangerous situation. You don't say, oh, Pikuach Nefesh, I don't have to listen. No, apparently, Pikuach Nefesh is not an exemption from listening to the king.
The king says,
this is lawless murder.
Yeah, the king says, put your head in the noose.
Good.
When you didn't do anything.
So that's how he wants to rephrase it exactly. He wants to say that the halacha, Marid B'Malchus, is only if the king is doing something that's alpit ha-Torah, that's permitted. But if, or it's not against the Torah, but if, and that's when you're obligated to listen to him, but if it's something that's going against the laws of the Torah, so then Marid B'Malchus does not apply. Here, you don't have to listen, and that's why he was allowed to run away. But Shaul, in any event, held it's Marid B'Malchus. At least he could pass it off as Marid B'Malchus. Whether it was or it wasn't, he could pass it off. Now, not everyone knew that Shaul was trying to kill him, right? So people wouldn't necessarily know the context. So they'd say, oh, David's running away from his, you know, his duty to the king. We got him. Marid B'Malchus. Now, why wait till morning? So I saw someone point out that because you can only have a beis din in the daytime. So they're going to wait till the morning and try him for being Marid B'Malchus. The Malbim, though, in his approach, says, no, it had to be this way. Because what's he going to do? If he... Right, well, I guess like this. I guess he could have pulled him out right away. But why guard him, he says. He had to have him guarded.
There's nothing wrong with that. Right. Because as long as we can help you make these decisions.
He says if they would, the messengers would go in and kill him right away. So then... So people will say there was no judgment. There was no court case. Now, how could they kill him right away? If he didn't send them to guard, So then people say, what do you mean he ran away from the king? He's at home, right? He's not running away. His house was on the king's property, or it was close by, right? He didn't have to go far. He's married to the king's daughter, right? So he's not running away. He's just at home. But that would be, right, because he's not even being guarded. If he wanted to run away, he would have run away. But now that he's being guarded, so then he can't make that claim. Nobody could say, oh, of course he's not being more machos because he didn't run away. Well, he couldn't run away because we stopped him from running away. Shaul can say, he was on his way. He was running away. He ran out of the palace. He ran home. And I got my guards there in time to keep him from running further. That's why he sent guards to guard him for the night. And in the morning, they would try him and find him chayav for being married b'malchus. That what? Who might have? If what?
If they capture them and give them to Sim, so they don't kill him, because Sim
killed. Sorry, I'm not following. What's the question? What's the answer? Who wants to do what?
Oh, that Shaul won't actually kill him, he just will be handing
him to the give him to the Plishtim.
I mean, that was his strategy before, have him fight Plishtim and die. But that has something to do with this pasuk? What does it have to do with this? He sent the guards to the house. Okay, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I follow. But he sent the guards to the house to keep him on house arrest so that he wouldn't be able to run away and they can try him in the morning for being married b'malchus. Okay. Okay, let's do one more pasuk. Vatored Michal as David be'ad hachalon, vayelech vayivrach vayimalit. And Michal lowered David from the window. Vayelech, and he went. Vayivrach, and he ran away. Vayimalit, and he escaped. So a little bit of redundancy at the end of the pasuk. But let's just learn a medrash, and this is going to be a very perplexing medrash, but it's going to teach us something valuable about the way Chazal read a pasuk. Okay, the medrash says the Radak brings it, the Kuyakar also brings it. We'll discuss the Kuyakar's discussion of it, but the medrash says it says.
If not, then what if it's 9%?
Hech barach David. How did David run away? How did he escape? Rabbi Abbo, Rabbi Avin. It's a machokis between Rabbi Abbo and Rabbi Avin. Rabbi Abbo Omar says, Rabbi Abbo, Shnei Sha'arim Hayu Lo Lebayis Shal David. David's house had two entrances or exits. Echad Gadol v'Echad Kata. One was big and one was small. The Shamru Osoming Ashara Gadol, and they were guarding only the big entrance. The Yatzaloming Ashara Kata. He went out the small entrance. That's the first opinion in the Medrash. How did he escape? He escaped out of a small. He had there were two exits. He went out the smaller exit. Smaller gate. Rabbi Avin Amar, Rabbi Avin says, Shar Echad Levad Hayolo. There was only one entrance. The Amdu Lahem Al Ashar, and they guarded that entrance. Ma Asta Michal, what did Michal do? Shilshula David Badach Alon. She lowered him on a chain or something by the window. Those are the two opinions. One was there were two exits, two entrances, and David went out of one of them. And the other opinion says that there was only one entrance, it was being guarded, so she lowered him from the window. Now, read the pasuk, right? What's going on here? Read the pasuk. Vatored Michal es David be'ad hachalon. And Michal lowered David be'ad hachalon, by the window. So what's there to talk about? What is this medrash? What's the question in the medrash? How did he escape? Whatever's coming. It says how he escaped. It's a pasuk. It says she lowered him from the window. And we understand the second opinion says that's what happened. She lowered him from the window. What's the first opinion? There were two entrances, and one was guarded and one wasn't, and she went out to the one that wasn't guarded. There was a smaller one that he escaped through that one. The smaller entrance. Did Rabbi Abba read this pasuk?
Wait a minute. He escaped through a window, not through a door.
Right.
The guards would have been at the door.
Right.
Not at a window. They wouldn't have thought about a window, presumably.
Right. I mean, I guess they didn't. They might have, but they didn't.
Right, they didn't. So,
right.
He was lowered unexpectedly. So, he didn't need two means of escape. He didn't need two exits.
No, it's saying the one opinion says, first of all, the Medrash has a question. How did he escape? And it says two answers. One is the way that we would simply read the pasuk. He went out the window. And the other one says there were two exits, a big entrance, a big one and a small one, and they were guarding the big one, and he went out the small one. So, where we read this Medrash, what's going on? Why would he possibly say that? So the Kliyakar explains where this Medrash is coming from. The Kliyakar says, and again, it comes back to you can read a pasuk, and you can read it very carefully, and you can come out with different conclusions. The Kliyakar says that the words be'ad hachalon are maybe not the normal word that would be used in this context. He says it should have said, if it just means that he went out the window, it should have said mehachalon, from the window. What's be'ad hachalon? So and secondly, what's vayelech vayivrach? What's and he went and he ran away and he escaped? So he says that the pshat is that there were, as the Medrash says, there were really two exits. One was a big one, and one was a small one. The small one was be'ad hachalon. It acted as a window. He went out that which was as a window. That which was as a window. Be'ad hachalon. That which was as a window. And it's very murky. If he had gone out the window, it should have said meachalon. So rather, it referred to the idea was there was a smaller doorway that he went out of that acted as a window, and that's why also it says vayelech, and he went. He didn't have to be like lowered with shilshul. Shilshul is the language that the other opinion used, which means like a shalshalas is a chain. He had to be like lower. No, it still says vatored, that she lowered him, but that means, say, according to this opinion, it was a bit raised, this exit. And that's perhaps why they weren't guarding it. Because it wasn't as noticeable, or it wasn't as clear that it was a doorway, because it was raised. But still, he went out that way. It wasn't being guarded, and that's what it means. Be'ad hachalon, according to right. If it was a proper exit, they would have guarded it. But it was small and it was raised, and that's why they weren't guarding it. That's according to the first. That was Rabbi Abba. And Rabbi Avin, the other opinion of the Medrash, read it. Kipshuto read it like we read it. Which is, no, she lowered him from the window, and that's how he escaped. So it just, you know, we read the Medrash, we have no clue where they would be coming from, but the Mefarshim help us, and Chazal are reading the Pesukim very, very carefully and being medayik every word, and the grammar, etc., to come to perhaps different conclusions than we might have on our own, just reading, you know, the simple pshat. All right. Freilich and Chanukah.
Shir next week?
There's no shir next week.